Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sojo Show. I am AJ, and I'm here with my friend, and we always say partner in crime. I don't know why we say that, but cohort.
Well, it's actually really applicable in this episode. Partner in
crime. Yeah, maybe that's why I just feel like saying it, because we do talk about some things maybe we shouldn't have talked about publicly.
Yeah. But I'm Jen.
Yes. So, and the two of us are revisiting one of the episodes that we did last year about this time leading up to Easter. So you guys will hear about that in a second, but I kind of feel like we're doing a time travel, Jen, over the past few weeks.
Yeah. It's been really cool. So here's the point reason I don't feel so bad about kind of revisiting these things. I went back and re-listened, and I barely remember what we talked about, and we were the ones who were talking about it. So I am confident that no one is going to be upset about listening again.
Yeah. And so. Plus, it's just the content is on one of our favorite chapters. Both Jen and I love Romans 8, and it is just chock full of good, solid truths you can just sink your teeth into. That sounds really gross now that I say that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But you can plant your feet on. Maybe that's a little.
There you go. That sounds good.
So, and we are excited to talk about no condemnation, because we all have times in our lives when we feel condemned, or honestly, we stand condemned because we've done something that we shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
So
this episode includes a little bit of self admission, I guess. So I talk a little bit about, I just kind of randomly admit things that I shouldn't have. And we both overshare a bit. There's a little bit of Chick-fil-A in there, a little bit of prison, a little bit about fence busting. There is, there's all kinds of fun stuff in there. So I will say this. Let me go ahead and say too, before, because I don't want to put this at the end. I'm just going to say this now. Romans 8 is one of the greatest chapters, as AJ mentioned, and it's chock full of promises, which is what we've been talking about. And the praying the promises of the cross, and it's just chock full of them. We did do an entire Bible study on Romans 8. We will make sure that's linked below. But we do have another great chapter. I'm going to go ahead and mention it.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Another great chapter. All of them are great. I shouldn't say, that. But another standout chapter is Hebrews 11. And it is another awesome chapter about the faithfulness of God and the promises and the goodness of God in His grace for us. And I think it is so perfect for, as we're studying and looking and praying the promises, for us to think about that chapter as well. So I'm only putting this little plug here, shameless plug, because we're studying that in Sojo Academy this month. Mm-hmm. And we want to give you the opportunity to study that as well, if you're interested.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, Jen, because Hebrews 11 is, I think it demonstrates our response to these promises. So it's great to know God's promises. We have to start there. We have to know and understand them, but then we have to believe them. We have to step out in faith and take action and act as if those promises are actually true. Because you know what? Spoiler alert, they are.
Yeah.
They're true. And what does our lives look like when we live as if these promises of God that are huge, that, for example, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does our lives look like when we act and live as if that is true? And that's what we're going to be diving into this month, March 2024, inside Sojo Academy in our Bible study on Hebrews 11. So yeah, I am really excited to do this study and to hear our members' takeaways from it, because it's going to be so good.
Yeah. So that gives you two chapters for homework to read, Romans 8 and Hebrews 11. But before you go do that, listen to this episode.
Yep. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. All right. Welcome back to the Sojo Show. We are so glad to have you today. We are going to be talking. We're continuing in our Promises of the Cross series, and we're continuing on in Romans chapter 8. So last week, if you listened, we talked about the last two verses of chapter 8. And today we're jumping on the way to the top. And we're talking about the first two verses.
Yeah, the first two. And this is actually like the key word in here is condemnation. And just spoiler alert, Jen and I have spent the last 5 minutes trying to think of a question we could ask about condemnation that was kind of lighthearted, and we came up with nothing. So I think we're just going to kind of dive right into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't want to share when we felt condemnation, because that would just drag us all down.
Yeah. Well, Jen was actually going to, what were you going to ask me?
If you've ever been in jail.
No, she was going to ask me. Well, she was going to ask me that too, but she was going to ask me, what do you like feel guilty for? I'm like,
have you,
what? You're actually going to ask me
a great question. What do you feel guilty about right now?
I mean, so where are you right now? What are you doing? Like,
we don't want to overshare too much. I mean, I know she's good at oversharing, but not this early in the episode.
I mean, what are you doing in your private life?
No, I was thinking about something. Let's see, what was I even thinking? Like, what about? Okay, all righty. I have an answer.
To what question? Have you ever been in prison? Is that a an answer for? Are you going to tell us about your private life?
No shame for anyone who's been in prison.
I hold a knife to my child's throat at night while they're sleeping. I mean, like, what are you from? I'm just wondering, what are you going to say?
That has never been a conversation we've ever had. You should not be telling things like that.
I'm worried now. Like, literally, I'm starting to sweat.
I was actually thinking about things like, okay, I'm supposed to be eating healthy. I'm getting to the age where I need to be eating healthy. Right?
You're getting to the age. I think that applies to all ages. Just all ages.
Okay.
Well, if you're young listening to us, you still need to be healthy and eat healthy. Okay. I'm just cleaning up her mess.
It's so much more important when you get old. It's so much. Okay. It's important at any age. You're right. It's so important at any age. Okay. But here's the thing. We have this thing in my house. Okay. All right. I'm just going to share it. I'm going to overshare right now.
Okay. This is what I was afraid of. Go ahead.
We have this app. On our phone, we actually, and I can only say this because my husband does not listen to our podcasts at all.
And he's not around right now. So
he's not in the room or in the house or in the town, in our city.
In the state.
He's not. I wouldn't even answer if I texted him. Nor would yours. So don't speak about.
Mine is in the same state I'm in.
The same state. Okay.
But hers is not.
Okay. All right. Where was I going with this?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I totally like derailed us. Is this going to be on the blooper reel?
Okay. This should be on the blooper reel. So here's the thing. We have this app. I don't know if you guys have it. Where it is our bank account, right? And it pops up a notification whenever anything is spent. So
that's stressful.
Okay. So the other day we were here yesterday and it was like, oh, Brad had Tropical Smoothie Cafe for lunch. Cause it said $11.20 was
from and Tropical I saw Smoothie the Cafe. Look that came over her face. It was like,
I want a smoothie. We're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're like literally eating. I mean, I'm staring.
We're hungry.
What do we have? Twizzlers and Nutter Butters. Oh, now I'm getting back to the bad part. Okay. So he knows when I drive through Chick-fil-A or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay.
That's why yesterday I told her, that could be some marital bliss interruptions right there.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Or if like he goes to Lowe's and spends like $55 on, what'd you say? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you building me something? Because if not, we need to discuss it. We don't really need to discuss it. We've married 30 years, people. So, but the point is,
would really be a stumbling block, though. I might have to be removing that app from my phone.
Well, the point is, sometimes
for marital discord purposes,
we'll use cash.
Oh, she did not just say that.
And you know what the worst part is? My son, Jacob, who's married, I'm about to call him out too. Miranda, if you listen, turn off your ears right now.
So my son who's married, we were talking about this the other day. He'll do this. They have the same thing going on. And he'll do the same thing sometimes. Just bust out the cash. You're so nice. I will drive the Chick-fil-A and use.
And you guys saw we didn't have the question at the beginning of this. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So and then I don't know how to roll this back around except to say that I'm very convicted by it.
You're very convicted that she slipped some cash into your pocket.
Or I'll use the little app thing and I'll like load enough on there that I can get a couple meals out of it. So anyway,
slipping that check in your back pocket and heading to the bank to cash it instead of depositing it.
It's crazy town. It's crazy town. All right.
My husband actually does that too. He like, yes, he withdraws cash or he'll get a check for something and he'll like keep it on his
books. Yeah. Right.
Deposit the rest.
I mean, sometimes.
I mean, we our secrets. We do.
But it's small. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to Romans 8 because we're discussing condemnation.
We are.
And conviction. Maybe a little bit. Not really. Maybe.
Condemnation.
We're going to do Romans 8, 1 through 2. And we're going to talk about a promise. This particular promise is not in the actual 40 days. Is it? I don't think it is.
No. This promise is not one of our 40 days praying the promises of the cross challenge.
So the promise will be no condemnation.
No condemnation.
That's your promise.
Right. That's the promise.
You have none. So I might be convicted by this, but in the long run, I have no condemnation because it's not actually sin.
Right. So, well, let's talk
a little bit about it.
Well, let's talk about what condemnation is.
Maybe I should not have gone on that rabbit trail.
No, it's good. You can re-listen to it and put it in bloopers if it doesn't fit. But I think it's good because honestly, we all have areas in our lives where maybe we sneak a little bit and then we feel guilty about it, you know, and we feel bad. Or let's just say it's not a sneak. It is just a flat out sin.
Let's just talk about sin.
Full fledged sin.
Okay, it. Talk about it. Share one of yours.
What about being angry at my friend?
Do you see what I did there? See what I did there?
She's totally gonna wring something out of me. She's gonna force me to fess something.
Let's take this example. Now, I will be honest and say I do not actually do this. I will not actually lie to him about it. I will tell him the truth that I went to Chick-fil-A. But let's say I do. Let's say we move into sin and he's like, oh, you know, what did you have for lunch today? And I say, oh, I had a salad.
Leftovers.
You know, leftovers. Yeah, whatever. Let's say we actually move into line. Okay, so now we're in a whole different ballgame, right? Because I have no sin. And now I am feeling condemned over that. I'm feeling convicted over that for reals. And, you know, kind of. And there are steps I need to take to make that right. But what I know is, based on this verse, that I am still a Christian.
I am
still a Christian. I am still in Christ, even though I've sinned, because I'm a sinner. So are you. Spoiler alert. You sin every day too. Don't be acting all high and mighty, y'all people listening. So what happens is I feel the condemnation of that sin, but I can rest in the fact that yes, I need to correct it. I need to apologize. I need to make it right. But there is no condemnation because I am still in Christ and he is still in me. Right. And I can make this right and I will still be covered in the righteousness of Christ. So let's move on to that.
Well, okay. So you brought up a few things, actually. This is a can of worms that you just unopened because there is a difference between conviction and sin. Mm-hmm. And conviction is what God does to our hearts when we have done something wrong. Like that is the work of the Spirit in our lives. He convicts the world of sin. Okay. Whether we're saved or lost, this is something he does, especially in the life of a believer. Mm-hmm. And the appropriate response to that is to confess, because it says when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. So after that has taken place, we can still feel condemned though. We can still feel.
Thank you for that clarification, because I skipped that step.
Yeah.
Although I would actually. And let me also back up and say, because all right, we're doing this live. I just want to tell y'all, yeah, we didn't say that at the beginning. We're doing this live in front of a live audience, if you will.
A live audience.
Okay. And some of them are pretty concerned that I'm partially
deceiving
my husband. And this was just a silly example. We have a very open and good marriage. And
he knows that he knows what she's doing.
He knows what I do.
He knows exactly what.
Okay.
Almost 30 years.
I'm being silly.
The boy totally knows.
I was trying to stretch and use it as an example, yeah. But yeah, we're good. But that step, yes, I'm not condemned because I'm a child of God, but that step of asking for forgiveness for my sin,
yeah,
critical.
Yes, it is. Because once that happens, because the goal of conviction is to bring us to a place of repentance, mm-hmm, and turning, mm-hmm, from the sin. And then once that happens, though, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to have a whole episode devoted to this, I think. But once that happens, is the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren,
mm-hmm,
wants, mm-hmm, to come in and remind us of, yep, that sin,
yep,
over and over again.
When it's gone,
it's covered.
Yes.
You have repented of it.
Right.
But what he wants to do is when we get on a call like this, he wants to say, oh, Jen, why are you talking about that? Because you just bought Chick-fil-A with, right, cash behind Brad's back.
Right.
You shouldn't be talking to these ladies about this. Who do you think you are?
Right.
You know, and it's that kind of thing. It's the accusing that comes into play. That then makes us feel like, oh, we're unworthy. God's not happy with us. We have something to hide. You know, we have to be like Adam and Eve and go hide in the bushes and seek a different covering than the blood of,
right,
Jesus Christ. And that's what this verse tells us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been set free from that. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, which the law of sin says you have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Your sin has to be paid for.
Well, somebody does have to pay for it. It, right, has to be paid for.
It does. It does.
It has to be paid for. An analogy I like to use in that regard is if you back your car into somebody's fence, your neighbor's fence. Okay. You back your car into a neighbor's fence. In order to fix the fence, there has to be reparations made. Either, mm-hmm, you have to pay to have the fence repaired, or the neighbor will forgive your misdeed and pay for the fence himself. But somebody's got to pay.
It's got to be fixed.
Pay for that.
It's got to be
transgression.
Fixed. Yeah.
Right. Well, the same goes with us. When, you know, we are by nature, we're sinful. Before we're in rebellion to God before he saves us,
mm-hmm,
and we cannot stand before him. We cannot withstand his wrath,
no,
basically.
Yeah.
And so someone has to pay the price for, mm-hmm, our righteousness, and it can't be us.
Right.
So that is where this beautiful story of the gospel comes in. Because,
yes,
God knew that. He knew that we could not save her. He knew we could not afford to fix the fence.
Right.
Okay. We could not do it. So he sent his son to pay that price. And because, mm-hmm, of that, there is now no condemnation. And let's, right, read the verses.
Let's read it.
So Romans 8, 1 and 2. We'll go 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Okay. Mm-hmm. So at the very beginning, there is therefore now. So that phrase, therefore, conjunction,
mm-hmm,
conjunction, junction, what's your function? That means that therefore, that means that something, mm-hmm, happened before it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, mm-hmm, we've already alluded to that.
Yeah.
What happened before it? Mm-hmm. And what happened before it is we were released from the law because of the death of Christ on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and then the next word that says there is therefore
now.
Right. Whereas previously we were condemned. And it says, the scripture tells us that for those who are not in Christ Jesus, for those who have not accepted and placed their trust in Christ, the world is condemned already.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:17, you know, the world is condemned already. And yet now for those of us who are in Christ,
there is no condemnation.
Right. When we go back to Romans 7, verse 6, it says the use of that now again in the same way. It says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So this is talking about, you know, the law, and that's a whole nother topic, but it's the now.
Right.
Now, and why is it now? Because this has happened. It's the therefore part bit. Because this happened. Because Christ died on that cross. And in an act of propitiation, he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. And now there is no condemnation.
Right. And you know what? I really appreciate this because it doesn't say, therefore, now that you prayed a prayer,
right?
Or you cleaned up your act, or you've tried hard enough that we're going to have pity and mercy on you. You know, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Christ and what he did. He said, there is a debt to be paid, and there's no way that human beings can pay it. So I'm going to take it upon myself to handle it. And that's exactly what he did. He handled it for us.
He paid the price.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. But here's the thing. Let's go on here. So therefore, conjunction, now, right now, because of what's happened, there is now no condemnation. Condemnation. We talked a little bit about that. The difference between conviction and condemnation. Yeah. Okay. No condemnation. Actually, that kind of echoes something back in Romans 5. Let's see here.
Well,
so therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, talking about that act, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that is part of the no condemnation.
It's kind of the opposite. Like there's condemnation on one hand and there's peace on the other. I mean, think of a courtroom of where you would be condemned. Right? You would be condemned. That's a legal term that we would use in a court of law that says you are condemned to, you know, the death penalty or to 100 years or whatever. And what this is telling us is there's no condemnation and you're at peace. You're at peace with the God who has all rights to place judgment on you.
Yeah.
And to bring that to bear in your life. There's peace there instead. I mean, isn't that
and not awesome? The not just the peace that we feel. Like when we think of peace, we think, and we have a whole episode on this, by the way.
Yeah,
it's back when we were talking with a guest. We'll link it up. I can't remember right now what the name of it was, but we'll link it up. The point is it's not just feeling the peace. Sometimes we think about peace like I don't feel very peaceful. I feel like in chaos, you know, there's very few times in my life where I feel peaceful. It's not about the emotions, but being at peace with God is a completely different thing.
Yeah, it is.
That is when you are.
The relationship is restored.
The relationship is restored and the price has been paid.
Right.
We now have no debt like we've been talking about. I mean, we go into the court. We expect to pay the traffic ticket. We did the wrong. We did the speeding. We did the speeding and we owe the $150. We go into the court. We stare at the judge. We don't have $150 to pay, but he says it's been paid.
Right.
You are now at peace with the law system, with the court.
Yeah.
You're at peace.
Right.
And
you can go your merry way.
That is what we have been given. So no condemnation. But then let's talk about the next little part, because it says for those in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Very, very important. And this is something that I think in our world, in our day and age, everybody wants to be right. And there's this voice that demands you must acknowledge that I am right to choose whatever life choices I'm making right now. And we are being forced to basically never condemn anybody.
Well, you are really going there.
I'm going there because it's so prevalent. It is so prevalent. And yet scripture teaches us there's no condemnation for a certain segment of human beings.
Right. Right.
Only a certain segment.
And you will find people that actually will use the Bible and use things like this out of context in ways to justify.
Yeah.
And they will say, I'm not condemned. God doesn't condemn me. God does not condemn what I'm doing.
Right. And so you shouldn't either.
Well, clearly the no condemnation clause, the promise, if you will, we're talking about promises.
Yeah.
The promise of no condemnation is only for those in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Okay.
That's a big deal, guys.
It is a really big deal.
So what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus?
Well, it means It means that we have come to the point where we, first of all, acknowledge we have sinned. You know, I mean, that is that we are worthy of that condemnation. Mm-hmm. We have come to realize.
We have used the cash, Chick-fil-A.
We have used the cash and we don't got no more money. And when the judge calls us into court to pay up, it ain't there. Mm-hmm. It ain't in our back pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, and spiritually speaking, we realize I'm bankrupt. I'm depraved. Mm-hmm. I'm dark. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart is tainted. I'm not the pretty church girl that everybody may think I am. You know, I have like deep sin in my life, in my heart.
And you are not at peace with that God. You are in rebellion. You are literally rebelling against the creator of your soul and the universe.
Yeah. And just coming to that realization that, whoa, I am not justified in my choices. And then on whatever level that is, you know, I think there's varying levels of understanding that, but being broken to realize that there is no one righteous, and that includes me.
And even recognizing that is a gift.
Yes.
So when your eyes are open to your true state of depravity, for better lack of terminology,
that's the work of the Spirit.
That is in and of itself the gift of God.
Yes.
That is the work of the Spirit in your life. That is God showing you where you are and where He is and where there's a huge gulf between. Mm-hmm. And you cannot cross that gulf. You can't do it. There's an ocean between you and Him, and you cannot cross it on your own.
That's right.
So that's when you turn to the only one that can bridge that gap.
That's right. And that's what it means when it says for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is for those of us who realize the gulf and say, Christ, I'm placing my trust in you. I don't know. I don't understand how it works. I can't figure it all out. I'm just saying, I'm yours, Lord. I am yours, Jesus Christ. You are who my hope is placed in.
It is as simple as that. It is as simple as recognizing that
and
knowing and if you've ever, so let's say you struggle with teaching, showing someone what that means or telling them what the gospel means or explaining the gospel, all you have to do is recognize that you were a sinner. They were a sinner. We were born sinners, separated from God. He saw that gulf. He saw that. And He decided to pay the price. And how did He do it? He sent His Son, His only Son, to come to the earth, become man and yet fully God. And He sent Him so that He could live a life you could not live, tempted in every way as you were, but yet without sin. And in doing that, was sacrificed on a cross, the most horrendous death possible. He did that. And in doing that act, because He was sinless, He was the blameless lamb. In doing that, He took all of your sin that prior to that had to be put on the goat, sent away. That's a whole other story. He took your sin. Okay. When you trust, when you believe that, and by some beautiful miracle that none of us can fully understand to the side of heaven, He took that sin, but that's only half the story. He took that sin and instead He gave you
His righteousness.
His righteousness. That's what it means. Yeah. That's the explanation. And it's simple. It's beautiful. But it is simple. And if you are trusting that, then you are one of those. And then let's go back a minute. So you are those in Christ Jesus. So now,
therefore,
there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
I mean, how good is that?
I mean, that's the best news ever. That is the best news ever. And that's the thing. We have to go back to that again and again and again, because we are still sinners. We still sin daily. And yet this verse applies to past sin, present sin, and future sin. There is no condemnation. He has paid it all forever, for all time, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, because the work is done.
Right. And done. He will forgive you of your sins. No, not just the sins that happened before you were saved, but the sins that you're ongoing over and over and over again that are happening in your life today. And you're feeling guilty and condemned about it. He will convict. Yes. And in conviction, he will, just like AJ said early, he will point you to him so that you can be forgiven, but know that he will not condemn.
Yeah. There's no condemnation.
It's gone. Once he's forgiven, it's gone. Mm-hmm. As far as the east is from the west, which is, there is no distance.
And it comes down to the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Mm-hmm. His work is sufficient. And when we don't grab hold of that, when we allow condemnation to creep in, it's really not trusting in the sufficiency of Christ. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good promise. I think that's good. We probably need to wrap it up. I don't know how long we've been talking, but I know it's been a while.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I actually have gotten convicted throughout this.
I have too. I've been like, not about the money thing, but about some other things. I'm like,
I'm not super convicted about that because he knows it's all good.
Well, we won't ask for your secrets. So don't ask for mine.
Okay. So, but anyway, I'm kind of like the preacher who says the stories of that just to get a, you know, whatever.
Yeah. 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 All keep telling us that.
It's all good. All right. Either way, thank you for listening. If you're listening this long, we appreciate it. And we are going to continue with talking about promises. We're just going to talk about the promises of the cross as we're looking forward to Easter. If you are listening to us relatively live, you can join us for Praying the Promises of the Cross Challenge at centralhub.com/promises. It is not too late to join because there is no too late. There is no behind. Also, if you're listening to us, happen to be listening to us in, I don't know, whatever month, November, March, doesn't matter. I'm thinking way, way far away. Okay. It's okay. You can still trust in these promises because we celebrate the cross at Easter, but there's nothing about that day that makes it any more important, except, I don't know. I'm not saying this right. He's a risen Savior every day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say that if you are listening in March leading up to Easter, we would love to have you inside Sojo Academy too.
It's going
to
be
fantastic.
Rich and deep. Okay. All right. Well, it was good talking to you guys and we will see you next week.
Yes.
See you then.
Hey guys, it's AJ here with a personal question. Do you ever long to connect with other women over God's word? If so, I'd like to personally invite you to be part of our online Bible study community. Sojo Academy is where Jen and I meet via Zoom every week with our global community to discuss God's word, pray, and share what we are learning with each other. In Sojo Academy, you'll get a fresh Bible study every month, as well as weekly meetups, Bible journaling kits, accountability, community, and an entire library of workshops and Bible study tutorials. Jumpstart your walk with God and come hang out with us live this week. Visit sojoacademy.com and we'll see you inside.